Nakamai Station.
Good morning to you all, and thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to our original submission that went in almost 12 months ago.
That's right.
My full name is Brian Hoare, and my family and myself are owners of Nakamai Station Limited. Have you all got these notes?
So we've read the original submission and also your brief of evidence. So you don't need to read that evidence out to us because it was pre-circulated, so we've read it. But you're very welcome to highlight key points for us.
Okay, I'll go through it point by point. Nakamai Station was bought by my father in 1950. And in the 1960s, there was an extensive area of tussock land oversown and top dressed with introduced grasses. And our policy from day one was to spread a small amount of fertiliser over a large area, and we got good results all the way. And more recently, we've done quite a bit of, we don't call it spray and pray, we call it spray and oversow, because that's actually what it is. And I was in a group that formulated this, the Hill and High Country group in Otago and South, and we did a lot of work on it with Landcorp and Mount Linton and several larger places. And our objective was to replace the grasses that were already there that had run out with more introduced species, and be able to leave the tussock there. So we actually, our method was quite different from what can be used today, a light spray in the autumn and then take everything out in the spring. And we were successful in leaving the tussocks there. But my, where I'm coming from is, I think it shouldn't be called spray and pray, it's actually spray and oversow.
Yeah.
With our areas that we're doing now, we're actually putting in some, we're cropping for 2 years, winter feed, and introducing oversowing with Moata as well, so there is some structure there. So the blocks that have been chewed off now, the crop, the Moata is already coming, so the ground is bare for a very short time, then we spray it out. And so what we intend for a long-term pasture on top of the Moata that's been sprayed, so it goes through different stages, but it's bare for very short times. So the environmental management plan, we see it as being needing a lot of, it could be a lot of time needed to prepare this plan if it's not too simple. And I've been talking to different guys in their family and that it's more or less a question and answer sort of thing that can be done computerised down here and make it easier to prepare and easier for the council staff to analyse. The intensive winter grazing, we need to have a lot of thought put into this area, which you're restricting to the 50 hectares, and a resource consent for anything more. It puts us into a risky the situation if we get turned down on our resource consent. We've got huge management problems, not able to carry on. And our winter grazing on crop only relates to younger stock, younger beef cattle and lambs, hoggets. There's no adult cattle, there's no dairy cattle go onto that at all. But we do really do need quite a bit more than 50 hectares. I think we've got working on about 300 hectares for this last winter. And on top of that, there's a bit of regrassing on top of that. So that's a major one. So the cultivation one, yes, I've covered that. The big problem, big worry we've got is the stock exclusion from the waterways. Just I think we had a rule change amended to streams a metre wide, was it?
Oh, well, the situation with stock exclusion is a little bit complicated. The central government has put out some draft national regulations that would apply across the whole country on stock exclusion. And we were expecting those final regulations to be put out by central government last week, but they haven't done that. I don't know when that will now happen, but whenever those final central government regulations are released, this plan will pretty much have to fall in line with whatever is in those national regulations. So we've received a lot of submissions and concerns about stock exclusion, which we totally understand, but it may be at the end of the day our hands are going to be tied by whatever is in those national regulations that government's working on. So we're in a pretty much a wait and see situation. But we do understand the concerns that have been expressed to us about the impracticality of fencing off hill country streams, the need to provide stock water schemes, issues you have with weeds growing in fenced off areas. So there's a whole lot of issues we're aware of, but we're just waiting to see what central government says about all of this.
Yes, well, it'll have a huge impact on hill country farming, and if it goes too difficult, it would be the finish of cattle in the hill and high country.
Yeah, no, which we certainly understand
that. Which would put a lot of our south of hill country out of cattle production. And cattle are used as an implement more than a productive item on a lot of properties to keep the top off the pastures to make them a better environment for grazing proposition of sheep. And our cattle are extensively grazed. Our adult cows don't go onto the river flats near the Matau River. It would be impossible to fence them out of the river areas without the fences being on high ground. Because did you get those two or three photos? You can see where the fences would go. They'd be down at Edendale. So it's not a good situation. So I'll just go through recommendations again. Allow a farm environmental management plan, which only need to be reviewed every 5 to 10 years. Yep. As opposed to annual. That would take the risk out of it. Keep the farm environmental management plan format as simple as possible so the farmers can complete their own. And a question and answer basis mainly. Promote a percentage approach to the permitted limits of intensive grazing on your property, which would be fairer. Recognise that spray and oversow is a fundamentally different kind of cultivation that's included in cultivation than conventional or mechanical tillage, and therefore not be considered under the same scrutiny as other forms of cultivation on sloping grounds. Spray and oversow should be promoted on steeper slopes. And amend a definition of cultivation to say the mechanical disturbance of the soil for the purpose of planting crops or pasture. Regarding, I've been through the stock exclusion, I'll read it down. Yeah. Regarding the stock exclusion rule 70, we support the council planner's recommendation to extend timeframes to undertake fencing. That's regarding the fencing, it's got to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And request that the rule refers to greater slope than 15 degrees on average. I think that's... a few years ago we went under Southland Catchment Board farm plan, and quite a bit of our land was retired at that particular time. So we have, we've been conscious of the conservation values in our property for many years. And the problem with some of that retired land now, it's got a wilding tree problem. There's no stock there. I think that's about all I really need to say if you've read that report.
Thank you. And just the point you made on your last recommendation, you supported the council planner's recommendation on stock exclusion. So what the council planner had done was pretty much take the draft national regulations and use them as a basis for recommending changes to the rules. So
yes,
that's probably the same sort of system would happen in the future once those final regulations come out. I'll just see if we have any questions for you.
Yeah, just two briefly. One is, you've got quite an extensive property. Have you done any water testing or have done any research on what your property is actually doing? It's at the top of the catchment. I think we were actually there on our site visit as well.
Yeah, we've got, it starts at the top of the catchment. Well, it's down the Matau River a little bit from the headwater, so a lot can happen then. But our drinking water out of the stream, we've tested, it's not pure, but it's pretty good. I'd put it in a whiskey and drink it without boiling it. But no, we haven't done extensive testing.
Okay.
No.
My other question really revolves around, in your evidence, on paragraph 18, you make mention that, I'll read it out, given that we already require to get a consent from the Commissioner of Lands, the Crown Lands, for any activity that disturbed the soil, including cultivation, and a additional consenting exercise seems unnecessary. Could you just explain that a little bit for me? I'm just not aware of that.
Okay, well, the property, main part of it is pastoral lease, and to do any soil disturbance or burning or tracking, we've got to have consent from Lynn's, and Lynn's run a past DOC for their recommendation. So that's another type of consent we have to get.
So your concern is that you don't want to be double consenting,
exactly.
You actually want a single and work, see, yes. Consents that work together.
Yeah, us are a group of high country farmers throughout the South Island have been pressing for just a one consent that is signed off by all parties, rather than have to go to Lynn's to get a consent and then go to a local government environment Southland for a consent as well.
Thank you. No more questions, Mr. Chairman.
I'm kind of a bit interested in the spray and oversow. So you still practice a certain proportion of the station every year? Are you still doing that, or have you kind of done what you're doing? Or?
We're doing some on an annual basis. We've got about approximately 300 hectares this winter.
And what sort of elevation do you go to with that?
About the 2,500 foot.
Yeah.
The top of it running down to flats. Flats are about 900 foot.
So this is a light spray with glyphosate, is it? Or
yes.
At what rate? 2 litres or?
Yes, I'm not very technical on just what rate it goes on at.
And so how long before you go back and redo that? What sort of life are you getting out of those pastures?
Well, what we've done, it's only been going for about 10 years, and
you haven't gone back yet.
Still, we haven't had to go back the second time around.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, good morning. Just on the permission of Crown Lands permission, is that a permit rather than a consent to burn or to disturb the soil?
Yeah, we have to go. We put an application to Lynn's and Doc both come and inspect what we want to do. If it's reasonably substantial, if it's minor, well, we get the approval anyway. But they send experts in to have a look, see what we're into.
Yeah.
And then every few years we get a property inspection done by Lynn's and a report on where we're going.
So the assessments, they might be slightly different or different to the way the regional council would assess it?
Well, we don't really get an assessment from regional council on for the application.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No variance.
No. Just on the spray and pray, you do about 200 hectares and you're thereabouts. And currently it's caught up in the definition of cultivation and intensive winter grazing. Some of the issues with that are to do with the grazing off in the winter. So how do you manage the grazing of spray and pray crops in the winter? Is it just an open run? You're not concentrating stock on
yes, they're concentrate the break fenced on yes. Yes, we had an inspection done by Environment Southland last week on what we've done, and it all looked pretty favourable. But the only problem we've got on hill country, it's rather difficult to fence off a break at the top of the block because there's no water there, mm-hmm. or there's no trough there. Mm-hmm. So to make management easier, you've really got to, not all blocks, but some of them, mm-hmm. could start from near the bottom, mm-hmm. where there's water.
So critical source areas are a consideration when you're doing spray and pray, or?
I mean, yes,
what you're explaining there, there's some circumstances where you have to start from the bottom because of the access to water. But generally, is it a factor?
No, but all our blocks have got access to water in a small way. Mm. It's not really a factor, but we do select what blocks that we do. A lot of blocks you wouldn't think of doing. It's what you, a lot of blocks might have bluffs and rocky outcrops, and then you're not going to get a good, very good result on swamp land. It's about where you're going to get the best end result with the least environmental damage comes into it too.
What's the average sort of tonnage, do you think, in terms of crop that you get on spray and oversow?
Sorry?
The winter crop, what sort of tonnage per hectare?
Not huge, no, not huge. Mm-hmm. About 12, 15 right. ton. Mm-hmm. But we've got the grass there as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. I've got two or three questions. Currently you use quite a small proportion of your farm for intensive winter grazing, as you say, but it's quite a large area compared to what most people would use. Do you think there should be a cap on the total amount of area that somebody could use to before they have to get a resource consent? So if we said it was 10 or 15%, on your property 15% I think is about several thousand hectares. So, you know, you wouldn't do that, obviously, but should there be a cap for large properties before people have to get a resource consent for winter grazing, if we went to a percentage rule, should there be an upper limit?
Oh, yeah, that would, I can see where you come from. I mean, a large, well, 2,000 hectare probably might, if there's no cap, put in 2,000 hectares. Mm. But the 15% one, a lot of us discussed, there's been a lot of discussion about it. We really felt that a 15% maximum, but if there's a, the property itself, I don't think we really need a cap on it, and that the country dictates that for a start, and that applies to a lot of high country properties.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cap would need to be different for every high country property.
Okay.
Really.
You say that you do the spray and oversow up to 2,500 feet, which is over 700 metres. 700 metres is about 2,200 feet, roughly. So is that spray and oversow to just re-establish pasture, or is that to establish winter crop?
We'd go higher to re-establish pasture, but lower to for cropping.
Yeah. So what's the maximum height that you would have cropping on? Can you give it in feet or metres of merit?
Yes.
How many feet?
I don't think we've done anything for cropping above 2,000 feet.
Right. Okay.
The floor of the valley is 900 feet.
Yeah. About 300 metres, yeah. Okay, have you got your photos there, the photos that you gave us? Photo number 5 shows a picture of spray cultivation on a hillside.
Yes.
I see in that photo there's quite a lot of what's known as grey scrub.
Yes.
And Dowry and Prosma and Karaka and that. What is that plant damaged by that scrub?
No, it's still alive.
So it carries
still,
on.
Yeah, it's still alive.
So in the grazing, the stock when they're grazing that, will they won't eat that much, I suppose?
No.
Yeah. So after it, that's still there.
We like a bit of a scrub left on. Mm. On the hillside, not just for environmentally, but for stock shelter.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And the last question. It relates to Rule 70 in the stock exclusion. I know that this is a government thing that we'll have to have in here, but what we've got in here at the moment is similar or the same as what the government is currently proposing. So we don't know the final outcome yet. But what it says is that beef cattle on land that's less than 3 degrees, which is the plains, like the high country, like the River Flats, for example, it says that beef cattle have to be excluded from water bodies on that land after July 2025. And I imagine that might affect you, as it might affect quite a few other high country farmers. So have you thought about that and how you propose to deal with that?
Yes, it's some areas it's easy, but in that photo there you can see that's in Victoria Gully, and there's a stream in the flat part of the valley, and the valley is quite flat coming towards us, so that would be stock exclusion zone. That one, that would be easy enough, but we've got a lot of areas that would be exactly resemble that area that it wouldn't be economic to fence off.
but you'd have to do it if this rule, if the government came down with this, wouldn't they?
Yes. Well, we don't want them to come down with it.
Wouldn't be too easy on the true left of that stream.
Sorry.
Wouldn't be too easy on the true left of that stream if you look at it.
A good point. It's both sides of the stream that you'd have to fence off. At this side, yes, but the other side, you'd have huge environmental damage through having to bulldoze a fence line around through there and dirty the creek. So, and it's very steep. You'd have to go well away up that slope to get a fence line.
Mm.
And it's not just a matter of getting the fence line there, it's a matter of maintaining it afterwards too. And maintaining the fences in all the hill country is a big expense each year of what we've already got.
Yeah. Well, all right, thanks for your thoughts on that, and thanks very much for coming up.
Thank you for...
I've no further questions, so thanks very much again for coming up.